welcome to Road Talk, Navigating Your Journey, where it is our mission to empower Christians with boldness and courage in every place. This is Jacob Hawk, the host of this podcast. You may be sitting in your car in traffic, walking in your neighborhood, exercising at the gym, or just trying to relax after a long day, but we are thrilled that you have joined us to spend time in God's Word. For more content, writings, podcasts, and other materials, I invite you to visit drjacobhawk.com. May God bless you richly and have a great day. Well, I want to welcome you back to Road Talk, Navigating Your Journey. I hope you are having a great day. Thank you for spending a little bit of your time today with us in God's Word. I'm going to jump right in today to part four of this series we've been in lately, How to Ruin Your Life by Age 35. And part four is refusing to take responsibility for your actions. If you want your life to really spiral out of control by your mid-30s, refuse to take responsibility and it will happen. You know, a lot of people, especially in today's world, refuse to take responsibility for the choices that they make, particularly the poor choices that they make. There is something called victim mentality that is very alive and well in our society. Victim mentality says it's always someone else's fault. The problems I have in my life stem from another source. But it's never me. But if we want to have a successful life, a life that is not ruined by our mid-30s, we have to learn to take responsibility for our actions. Now, I want to return to kind of a piece that we touched on in the last episode when we talked about the fact that you are not an accident. I call your attention back to those beautiful words in Psalm 139, verses 13 through 16, where David says, "You created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well." And David goes on to say, "All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be." Now, I'm quite confident that King David, even though he was a very intelligent man, David knew nothing about DNA. But he did know that human beings are very special. We aren't here by accident. We weren't created because of an accident. We're here for a reason. In his book, Steve Farrar makes this wonderful statement. He says, "Do you think that your genetic code, encrypted by 23 chromosomes from your mom and 23 chromosomes for your dad, is sheer accident? If it is, then your life has no real meaning or purpose. You are just a piece of matter brought into existence by mere chance. Have you considered statistically what it took for God to get you here down through the thousands of generations and centuries? It is statistically amazing that any of us exist today. I mean, what are the chances that our parents, our dad, and our mom would meet when they met? That we would be conceived when we were conceived? What if they had never met? What if something had prevented them from meeting? Well, our life as we know it would not exist, even if we don't have great relationships with our parents. The fact that we are here in many ways is miraculous. So since you are no accident, God made you for a reason. You know, Paul would say in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, that we are God's workmanship. We are created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. God did not create us to sit at Starbucks. God did not create us to play video games. God did not create us so we would spend our entire lives going on vacation. God created us to do good works for Him and to take responsibility for those good works. So the question then becomes, well, if we are created to do good works, how do we figure out or discover what those good works are? You might remember that Paul would write in Philippians chapter 2, verses 12 and 13, that we are to continue to work out our own salvation with fear and trembling. He does not say we work for our salvation. That was paid for us by Jesus on the cross. No, we work out our salvation. In other words, we put it into action. Through trial and error, we figure out where God needs us and how God can use us. Like Newton would say in his laws of motion, an object will stay in motion once it becomes in motion. It will stay at rest if it's at rest, unless some type of outside force acts upon it. It's interesting that when we begin to work out our salvation, when we begin to get busy serving the Lord, it's so much easier for us to keep serving the Lord. But if we never begin at all, well, we'll never get started. James, the brother of Jesus, would write in James chapter 2, verse 17, faith by itself, if not accompanied by action, is dead. Depending on God or someone else to do everything for us is not only dangerous, it's deadly. We have to take responsibility for our own faith. We must take responsibility for our own actions. Picture in your mind a large circle on the wall, and we're going to say that circle is God's will. And then picture inside that large circle a smaller circle. We'll call that smaller circle our will. This figure represents the will of God and our will. You know, everything that happens in our lives is a result of God's will, but we should desire for our will to be inside of God's will. We should desire to make the right choices, which lead to the right actions, which then produce the right consequences. But we're only going to make the right choices, which lead to the right actions and produce the right consequences, if we take responsibility for our actions. You know, Jesus would say in Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, to seek first his kingdom and righteousness. We aren't robots. God doesn't program us to do the right thing. We have to make the choice to seek his kingdom first. He would say in the next chapter in that same Sermon on the Mount, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The wise man doesn't just hear the words. The wise man actually does what the words tell him to do. And that's a choice that we make through personal responsibility. Paul would say in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 18, to flee from sexual immorality. Not avoid it, and not be careful around it, but to flee it, to get away from it completely, the same way that Joseph left the house of Potiphar's wife. He ran from that scene. A lot of the situations that we find ourselves in are a result of our own poor choices. You know, Solomon would write in Proverbs chapter 9, verse 10, that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A healthy fear for Almighty God. My friend, you do not have to live with a victim mentality. You do not have to believe that if your life isn't going well now, that it will go poorly for the rest of your days. You do not have to think that if you did not have the right upbringing, that you'll have a poor future. You don't have to blame your problems on everyone else. No, you can take responsibility for your own life and your own future. Remember, causes have effects. Actions have reactions. Choices have consequences. That is the story of life. As always, thank you for joining us today here at Road Talk. Keep your eyes on heaven, and I can't wait to talk with you next time. God bless.